guys, it's time to do some Gilmail, guys.
Reading letters, reading love notes, reading poetry that you write us.
Questions, answers, all those things.
Q&A.
Much more.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is Gilmail, guys, volume 4.
Is it 4?
Volume 4. It is, yeah. We've done only 3.
Wow.
Does it feel like more?
It doesn't feel like that much more, but in my head, this is something that we do like every few episodes. I don't know.
The last time we did it was in 2014. That's how long it's been.
Oh my
it was the
God.
Last episode we recorded in 2014.
Well, welcome to the first Gilmail, guys, of 2015.
Oh, shit.
New year, new us, new male.
New
same
male.
Old Gilmail, guys.
New females, maybe. You got any ladies going on? Fair enough. We're going to open up the mailbag and see what's itching in there. So let's do that right now. Do I say so let's do that right now?
That's me opening the bag.
Oh, yeah, I heard it. The mail's everywhere.
I should have opened it from the top.
Okay, no bid zone. If you were to say, Kevin, there's a phrase you say on the show over and over again, and it really annoys me. What is it?
I don't know about annoys.
Drives me crazy.
No, there's not really anything that I'm like, come on, dude. Although, every time you do, like, it's been a while, it's like this kind of thing of like, it's almost so subtle that I feel like, should I not talk over that? Uh-huh. Like, it just, exactly. I'm just like, hold on.
At this point, it's not even, I'm not even saying the words. I'm just going,
it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Exactly. You just do the, like, vaguely.
Yeah. And no. Again, that's not a Gilmore Geyser Ridge.
Right.
That comes from the comedy Bang Bang universe and is a nod and stars holla out to them.
And for a while, I didn't understand.
For a while.
I was like, as soon as I said it, I was like, wait a minute, you said a while.
you
said
say
the
it
key.
So I mean, just anyone says it so much in their lives, more than they realize.
It feels like Pee Wee Herman's like, you said the secret word.
Oh, kind of. Yeah. I see myself as a Pee Wee Herman type.
But
sexually.
You jack off in theaters a lot?
Oh, no, I meant the character, not Paul Rubens.
Okay, that's
more like
fair.
Paul Scrubens.
Kevin just did the most exaggerated, like, thumbs down, like, I do not approve.
I don't approve of J&O in theaters.
No, of course not, but it was just this weird, like, who saw that, like, of you doing the thumbs down. What was I going to say?
Point the mic closer to your
mouth. For such a long time, I didn't understand
a long
the...
time.
I was going to say, for such a long time, I didn't understand the Act 1 thing, because I hadn't... I still didn't understand it then.
Yeah, This American Life.
Okay.
It's This American Life, I'm Ira Glass.
That makes sense.
Bagels, or whatever it is.
For the record, for a long time, I would go, it's been such a long time.
Let's get some mail going and read this one from Allison.
Allison Chains.
Sure. Or Alice in Janney. Or Alice in Wonderland. Hey, guys, I love the show and just wanted to let you know that you've officially... Oh, this is a great story. You've officially infiltrated my thoughts. My fiance was leaving for work this morning, and I was still in bed, half asleep, and he leaned over to kiss me goodbye, and his hand touched my butt. And my instinct was to sing, "Welcome to my ass." Needless to say, he was confused. Thought I would share. What a wonderful story.
I just imagine someone sleepily going, "Welcome to my ass.
It's been waiting for you.
It's been waiting for you."
Oh my gosh. So
that's
lovely.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Allison.
I thought she was going to say, "Dirty."
Dirty. I mean, both would apply.
Yeah.
Both would apply in equal measure. This next one comes from Sarah. Hi, guys. A friend of mine posted a link to your podcast on Facebook a few weeks ago. I've been working my way through from the beginning. I made it to season 2 so far, and there was a question recently about how Lorelai III got the nickname Rory. Rory! I have no idea where this story is from. I swear that someone on the show explains it, but a quick Google tells me that I'm a crazy person. It's entirely possible that I just made this up myself. Anyway, here it is. When she was little, she wasn't able to pronounce Lorelai correctly. The closest she could get was Rory, and that's been her name ever since.
I think that actually was mentioned in the show.
Was it?
Or I've heard it before.
You have heard it before?
Yeah. Because that seems like when she started saying that, I was like, oh, that seems like a familiar story.
It seems familiar to me, but is it... I don't know.
Is it an old wives' tale? I don't know.
Ooh. Well, someone correct us. On Gilmail Guys Volume 3 is when I made the grave and fatal air of Tukey Clothespin and Squeegee Beckenheim.
Grave and fatal.
Grave and fatal. I'm literally dead.
Did anyone go like, you idiot, Kevin, you stupid piece of
someone
shit?
Someone said, I'm disappointed in you. Oh. Someone actually did say that.
That we don't. That you don't remember every reference. I don't remember references from 3 episodes ago.
Right. A Toddler's pronunciation would be something like Rory, which would get shortened into Rory, and there you have Rory. You guys are doing a great job, and I always laugh a lot when I'm listening to you. Luckily, my coworkers are getting used to me laughing creepily to myself, since I also listen to How Did This Get Made? Seriously, if you guys got Zooks on the show, I would probably pee myself.
A 1, a 2, a 3.
Oh boy, Sarah. But unfortunately,
how long can we do that for?
There was a scheduling conflict, so he couldn't do it.
Yeah, sorry.
307's already come out at this point.
Yeah. Well, Serendipity. Giving everyone nicknames.
Serendipitously. Okay, so Mackenzie Shannon Bax writes, P.S. There's a longer email, but I just took out this part.
Don't call it a Shannon Bax. I'm giving everyone nicknames.
Okay. That's good.
It's not that great.
P.S. If you could combine 2 characters from the show to create your ultimate slash ideal friend and or lover, who would you choose and why?
Paris and Patty.
You didn't even have to think.
Nope.
Paris and Patty.
Paris and Patty.
Break that down for me.
Paris is the funniest. She is crazy smart. She's beautiful. She's like crazy in a way that is like almost like it would stress me out, but I'd also just be like, you're so alive and vibrant. And I'd be like, ah.
I feel so alive right
now. It's like, you're driving me crazy and I love it so much. And Miss Patty is just a horn dog and she is funny. And
she'd
so,
be DTF all the time.
She would be DTF all the time. And she's so vibrant and like just light and loving. And it's like no stress with Miss Patty. So it's like the no stress versus the all stress.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wow. I love them both.
Yeah, I love them both too. My combo would probably be, that's such a great combo. I was thinking about Miss Patty just because of the bedroom experience for Lover. But you did Lover. I'll do an ultimate and ideal friend. I think my ultimate and ideal friend would
be Babette and Bootsy.
Took the words right out of my mouth. Hey, sugar, want a newspaper? That's all I know about Bootsy.
I know nothing about Bootsy. He's just so
funny. He loves Hotel California. We know that from the Bracebridge dinner. Isn't it so funny how our favorite episodes thus far are probably Bracebridge dinner and probably They Shoot Gilmore's, don't they? 307.
The funnest episodes.
Which are very townie-centric, and it's a big event that they're all gathered on.
Honestly, my favorite part of the show is the townies.
It is your favorite part of the show.
But also, I feel like I am biased because I feel more attached to the fun moments of the show more than the emotional ones. Like, when we get the emotional moments of, like, oh, no, Rory's life is falling apart or her relationships are... Like, I feel those and I love them, but then when we get the laugh moments, I'm just like, I want to watch this again. Like, I told you, the protest was my favorite thing.
Yeah,
it's just
great.
It's all physical comedy. It's a funny moment. And that's why I loved it so much.
The inaudible yelling was wonderful.
Exactly.
What is it about inaudible yelling that is so funny?
It's just always... It's, I don't know. Don't know. But I love it so.
What is it about inaudible...
But it's about inaudible.
I would say my ideal friend would probably be a cross between Suki, because she's so sweet and so positive that she would always keep me positive.
She'd make you the loveliest dinners.
Oh my gosh, the cookies.
I
love cookies. Would I like cookies?
I would love to take a cooking class with Suki, or even just have like a potluck, or even just do a thing where it's like, come over and we'll both make dinner. And I'd be like, yeah, hell yeah.
That'd be awesome. I'd love that. I really want that to happen.
Oh, Kevin's crying.
The combo would be Suki and who would embody, like, in a complimentary way, other wonderful qualities that she might not have? Maybe. I don't know if it'd be Lorelai. Lorelai seems a little too self-involved to be a good friend.
Probably.
Would it be Luke? Probably Suki and Luke.
Lukey.
Suki and Luki, Team Luki, baby. Just because they're just so damn dependable all the time. Mm. You can always count on them.
That's true.
Or can you? We'll see in future seasons.
I like that you realize, every time you realize you've used the word always or like forever or something, you just go, or will they?
Or.
You're going to be like, I don't know,
dude. We don't know for sure.
Someone might die.
Great question. Thank you, Mackenzie. Sorry, just checking the ones and twos.
The ones and the twos and the threes and the twos and the...
And the blacks and the whites and the wrongs and the rights and the...
Hips and the haps and the... Sorry.
Okay, so this is a... I was truthfully very moved by this next email. This is from...
Well, let's get serious then.
We've been serious the whole time.
Right.
No bit zone. Leela Davids, right...
If this is a sad email, I'm going to feel really
bad. You're going to feel real bad.
I'm going to feel really bad. All right, Leela Davids.
Okay, Leela Davids writes, hello from London. No, I'm not going to try.
Don't.
That.
Okay.
Hello from London. Big fan of your show. My sister introduced me to Gilmore Girls, and I've introduced her to Gilmore Guys. I think the huge debt of gratitude I owe her is now significantly lessened. I started listening to the podcast in early December while recovering from surgery. I'd planned to rewatch lots of episodes of Gilmore Girls as part of my recovery. Kevin, I know you totally get the healing and comforting magic this show bestows. And that I do. But due to complications following general anesthetic, I couldn't watch anything or read much, so podcasts were my go-to comfort entertainment. You two arrived at just the right moment, and dare I say, it were just as healing. As I'm getting stronger, I've turned to other comfort activities, baking and cooking Gilmore Girls-themed meals and desserts while listening to you, of course. Food is such a huge part of the show. Friday night dinners are family time. Lorelai and Rory bond over junk food, and Suki and Luke, arguably the two closest adults to Lorelai, work with food. So I've started making Gilmore Guys grub. I'm not all fat. It's A-U-F-A-I-T. Am I stupid for not knowing what that is?
What?
A-U-F-A-I-T. Au fait?
Au fait? I don't know what that means either.
I'm not au fait with Twitter, etc. So I'm emailing you my Miss Patty's Try a Plum. They're Better Than Sex Plum Tart. I play with pie in the title as the alliteration is good, but I think you'd agree that for Miss Patty, the term tart hits just the right note. Would love to send you some, but sadly, I don't think it would travel well, so here's my version of fan art. Let me, and included in the email is a picture of this plum tart baked. Let me know if you'd like the recipe. It's a short crust pastry with a plum and frangipane, whatever
frangipane.
That is. Frangipane? Sure. Filling. Homemade goodness. You two are wonderful. Wishing you continued success.
That was terrific.
That was really, really sweet. So thank you so much.
It was terrific, though. It wasn't... Don't let what I just did underscore that. No, well, really. Thank you so much.
It's very much. Anytime we get... We've gotten a few of these. I hope to read more on the show. Anytime we get emails that are like... That the show or whatever episode or whatever guest or whatever we're doing here was like a specific need met in someone's life. And not like it's a need like, oh, dang, I need a podcast. Right. Like you need water or something.
It hit a chord for them.
Yeah, where it hit a chord or it's just like some sort of comfort. And you and I have definitely experienced this, I think.
Oh, yeah.
With whatever movie or TV show and certainly podcasts. Or I even think about just like the impact of listening to Harris Whittle's podcast has had the last couple weeks. And just that being such a comfort and the intimacy of podcasts really being unparalleled, I think, in any other entertainment medium. TV is very intimate because there is a continued relationship there. Movies not so much because it's just something you visit.
Although,
you don't kind of live there.
Chappie for me.
Chappie. Oh boy. So Demi keeps bringing up how much he wants to talk about Chappie on the podcast.
I gotta talk about Chappie.
Because we're not going to be guests on how this get made anytime soon, or will
nope.
we? No, we won't. But Demi saw Chappie.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it because Demi didn't invite
me. Let's clarify. I experienced Chappie.
And you have thoughts on it. Speak on that.
Guys, Chappie is the most incredible thing that has ever been created.
Wow.
And I don't want to tell you that it's a good movie, because it's not. From point from face value, it's a terrible film. Everything that is wrong with it is in the writing, or just nothing makes sense. Not mm-hmm. one part of it makes sense. But by the end of it, there's not even a, it's not even a twist really on the story or anything, but you just realize certain things that, like, in the direction of the movie, you're like, I can't believe that this is the way they went with this. I can't believe that these characters are these characters. Right. And it's just like this weird sort of, it almost feels like an experimental film that got made into a blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
And not,
you said it seemed like a proof of concept video.
Yes, it seemed like a proof of concept music video for Dion Tour that they were like, let's give this $50 million.
How interesting.
And the ending is insane. Doesn't make any sense. It focuses on the wrong people. The main villain, I can't tell you anything about him except for that he loves rugby and hates small robots. It's just the most incredible, confusing, unmistakably bad, but also intriguingly fun to watch thing that I've ever seen, and I think that you should spend money on watching it. This has been the Chappy
Chaps.
Chappy Chaps.
Chappy Chaps.
Yep.
I will see it at some point. I was thinking about going to see it at the Vista, maybe.
You should.
It's playing there currently.
Then when you do, okay, here's the thing. If you don't know anything about computer programming or anything, you'll see some parts of this still, and you'll still just be like, well, I know nothing, but I know that, that's wrong, right?
That can't be the case.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Wonderful.
Sorry. I had to get my thing out about Chappie.
That's a Gilmore Guys movie corner.
Welcome to the Chappy Hour.
The Chappy Hour. Chappy Hour is a good name for a podcast.
I agree. About Chappie.
Well, they could do the thing like The Worst Idea in the World. There's this podcast where these two guys from New Zealand watch Grown Ups 2 every week for a year. Have you heard about this?
Yeah. Which is brilliant. They're doing season 2, Sex and the City 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That is a great idea. So we could do Chappie Hour, where we watch Chappie every week.
It wouldn't work, because I just get more appreciative of it every week. I'd just be like, this is beautiful.
Well, maybe that's the show. This next email comes to us from James. James writes in and says, before listening to your podcast, I felt like Lorelai and Rory let me down by making bad choices. After listening to your show, I feel like Gilmore Girls addressed the difficulty of being in relationships without making any compromises about who you are and who you want to be. This issue seems particularly important for women, as the traditional female gender role often requires women to put their dreams on hold to support their husbands and their family. I like that the show presents two interesting and funny women who are unwilling to accept their traditional roles. It's sad to see them struggle so much to overcome the judgment of their significant others and their families in the show, but highlighting the issue seems important. My fiance is a doctor, and a lot of what Rory goes through throughout the series was and is particularly true to her. James hits on something kind of interesting we haven't talked about too much, is about the idea that the show is one about not compromising for anybody. We certainly see that manifest in the character of Lorelai.
Yeah.
I don't know about Rory yet. I think maybe the not compromising might come a little bit later.
We'll talk about, I think we might have to, I don't know if we'll hit it too hard, but I will say that in 308 particularly, there's a little suggestion at the end that she's open to compromise,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know if it's a big part of Rory as much as it is for Lorelai.
Right.
Or like the conflict of compromise in her
right, cause,
id, superego, whatever.
Yeah, Lorelai's a lot more stubborn, I think, than Rory is.
Yeah.
Rory's a little more passive. The Beta Bella. Beta Bella.
Beta Bella, but proto Katniss.
Molly Rocco's, what's her nickname?
Molly Rocco's Modern Life.
Yep. she writes in and says, hey guys, really enjoyed your show. Just blasted through your current repertoire to date. Here's for the 109 fans out here.
Oh yeah, Charles Manson.
For the record, I have a very detailed knowledge of all things Charles Manson.
Hell yeah.
As a result of my work for a documentary filmmaker, and would be thrilled to serve as an offsite consultant for Demi's future podcast.
Oh yeah.
Sorry for bringing it up. I know it's a sore spot.
Not for me. Not for me. It's just promo for a podcast that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. What did we? What?
The way you just said yep was like, yep. All right, moving on.
Yeah, anyway.
But did we what?
Did we? There's not anything equivalent in Trolley's 304, the new 109, to the Manson podcast, right? I guess it was just the Costner. Oh, the Fast and the Furious podcast. It doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
Will it? It will? Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Although we cut it out, so people have no idea what we're talking about, but you'll see.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, no, don't cut it out of this. We haven't specified what it is.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a very specific type of Fast and... Anyway.
It's a...
Kevin! Cut that out.
Okay.
But,
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Aziz, not sorry. Yeah, I'm Aziz, not sorry. That's like a character who's a stand-up, but he's not sorry about... He's very unrepentant.
Yeah.
Aziz, not sorry. This is from... Patricia
Arquette?
Yeah. Wow. She's a gilly.
That's great.
Patricia Scalacera, maybe. Who cares?
Scalaceraptor.
Hi, guys. I've been trying to catch up before emailing, but here I am listening to episode 222, and I need to voice my own rant.
Mm-hmm.
So we're about to go in rant mode.
G4I.
Yeah, we're about to meet Hugh Rant over here. Everyone loves to hate Chris, and although I understand it, I think it's not so fair. This is like my fifth time watching the show, and I can't really remember if I was Team Luke the first time around, but I'm not sure I'm Team Luke now. As far as I can see, everyone in the show is evolving, as DC Pearson says. It feels like these characters are all traits of the Paladinos, and they all start off weird, rude, or immature, but always with a heart of gold, we should say. Heart of gold. But everyone is allowed to evolve and grow, and yet people blame Chris for something that happened when he was 16. Saying he was flaky as a father and absent. I don't know. I just find that it is as much Lorelai's fault as it is his. And even though she says she always had the door open to him, I don't see her shipping Rory to California for the summer or a visit, for example. She wouldn't even let her go for a holiday at age 16 to Boston. I can't deny the chemistry that David and Lauren have that made me feel like he really gets her, her imperfections, her flaws, her quickness. And please don't compare him to Jess. Jess is a jerk and a punk, and he might have a heart of gold, but he doesn't know how to show it. Chris took his time to grow up, too. It seems he has emotionally matured, but takes a while, to be financially mature. Lorelai's the opposite. She is financially mature, but when it comes to her emotions, she's still growing up. That's a great point. Then I want to ask what your true opinion of Luke is. Everyone loves him and says that he is the father figure for Rory and always there for Lorelai doing sweet things, but he is so grumpy, angry, and he is like Jess. He's only nice to people he loves. The others he barely tolerates. Taylor, Kirk, Michelle. He talks about how people in the town didn't like him when he was young, but they gave him a chance. Jess, hello, that's in parentheses. He's moody and is mean to customers and to old ladies. I'm trying to remember when he was mean to old lady. I'm sure it happened.
How about you move it, lady? That's not a quote. I'm just imagining that.
Damn it, old lady. Don't get me wrong. I love a good Luke rant. He is funny and he does some sweet things, although don't say it's an unconditional love. Is she telling us that we shouldn't say it? He only made the hop up because he felt guilty that he had been a brat and not attending Lorelai's engagement party. And plus, I don't know if you're aware of this, Kevin, but Luke's diner was supposed to be Daisy's diner. Yeah. We are aware of that, as of the Sam Phillips episode. But the WB thought they had too many chicks in the show.
Gotta look cool with all the chicks. What is this, Gilmore Girls?
Oh, twig. Chicks. Duh. Chicks eating twigs.
Get some more testosterone in there.
Who is that?
I'm Danny Zuko.
Oh, sure. And then they decided to change
it. And I'm here to stay. Sorry. Never mind.
My name's Danny Zuko, and I'm here to stay. You can tell this by the fact Luke doesn't become a real character until about episode 7 or 8. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I do like Luke as a townie. I love him as a love interest for about a season and a half, but don't tell me he is the greatest because he isn't. The most amazing guy on the show is Dave Rogowski, Jackson,
agreed,
and Max. Even if they are blah, the others all have flaws we love. I love any guy that makes Lorelai happy. So there it is. I love Luke, but I hate Christopher haters because he is so sweet and adorable and he doesn't deserve all the hate.
My thing about Christopher is I love him so much until... the episode, like the finale.
Yeah.
I just think he made a bunch of like wrong choices. And that doesn't mean I don't love him because he just made a few wrong choices, but it's like these wrong choices are things that are so easily avoided if he just thought, like, you know, I am kind of just on a. It's like the whole thing of, it's literally we were on a break. on Friends and like thinking that excuses.
Oh yeah,
it. And it's like it doesn't excuse it, but it also it doesn't. Like, I understand where you're coming from, but also, like, have a little foresight to be like, you know, maybe I still shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
Anyway, Luke. All aboard for Luke. The thing is,
You are all on board for Luke?
I love Luke. Yeah. I think he's a great match for Lorelai. The only problem is that they are so much trying to, like, do the thing where it's like, wouldn't Luke be great? Ah, pull it back.
JK, yeah.
But it's like, they do that so much, and it's all from Lorelai's side. We don't get any of the romantic tension from Luke.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing it full on, like, I'm just the friend, and it's frustrating because we know it's going to... I don't know where their relationship's going to end, but I just know that it's going to become... It's going to grow and grow and grow. So for it to be so... uncertain right now, and to see Luke as this guy who is almost in such denial that it's not even there's like no sexual tension or anything from him,
mm-hmm.
is frustrating. And I just want to get over the hump and to see Luke as this guy who has to acknowledge that he has feelings for Lorelai or for anyone really. Because even with Rachel, it was this kind of thing of like, oh boy,
I kind of love you, I kind of don't.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. I just want him to be more of a character that has emotions that aren't anger. And also, even though he like pretends to hate everyone, he's bowled over so easily, more than anyone in the show. Taylor has never once gotten a request like fully denied from him.
Right.
Like, it's just like they argue about it, but it's like, ah, fine, Taylor.
Damn it, Taylor. Yeah. But yeah, he always does. You can push two buttons and then he's yours. Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Especially if you're Lorelai, because...
Most especially.
The whole ice cream shop thing, they go like, aren't you on my side? And it's like, we like ice cream. And he goes, fine.
Fine. Here's another very nice one. This is from Chris Savage. Chris Savage Garden.
I was about to say.
I looked so disgusted.
Randy Chris Savage, Fred Chris Savage.
Oh, great.
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse Savage.
Ooh, that's my favorite so far. Hey, Kevin and Demi, 51-year-old Gilly here. My wife and I...
My wife.
Watched,
and I.
Sure. Watched the show in reruns and just finished it for a second time on Netflix. I found your podcast about 2 months ago and fell in love with it after a couple of eps. My dad went into the intensive care unit of a hospital an hour from where we live almost 2 weeks ago. And he's still in the hospital. Because of that, I've been doing a lot of driving, so I've been binge listening, and I'm up to ep 205. This is from a couple weeks ago. Mm. I'm hoping to catch up at some point. Anyway, thanks for providing some fun entertainment during what's been a pretty stressful time. I really enjoy all of what you do. So fun. Chris Savage from Dexter, Michigan. Parentheses, practically Ann Arbor. P.S. Season 7 isn't that bad. PPS, dad's doing better. So that's great.
That's good.
Yeah, hopefully, I mean, he wrote that in February, and we're just now getting to it because we haven't done a Guillermo Guys in a long time. So thanks for writing that, Chris. That kind of goes back to the other email we just read from, oh shit.
Come on, dude. No.
That kind of goes back.
Lila?
Yeah, that kind of goes back to the other email we just read from Lila. It's just really an honor to be any part of anyone's like comfort or like during a tough time or stressful time. So thank you for that and just expressing that, and best thoughts and wishes to your dad too. Oh, you know what? We do need to address this because we haven't talked about this in the numerous times Seinfeld has come up. What's the deal with Stars Hollow? Oh, it's such a bad Jerry.
Damn it, Jerry! That's good Costanza.
Yeah, but I said damn it, Jerry, but that's a Parks and Rec thing. As Costanza, but damn it, Taylor's Gilmore Girls.
Oh my god.
The universes are collapsing.
Is Seinfeld plus Gilmore Girls Parks and Rec?
No.
No.
Aaron Taylor writes, hey guys, as a huge fan of both Gilmore Girls and Seinfeld, I loved in episode 302 that Kevin, when discussing Rory's run-in with the Puffs, dropped a subtle Seinfeld reference saying, not sponge-worthy, not puff-worthy. I was surprised that you didn't get into the fact that Elaine's sponge-worthy guy in that episode is Scott Patterson. Just one of the few good Gilmore/Seinfeld actor crossovers.
I need to brush up on my Seinfeld. It's another one of those shows where, like, every guest is like, oh, my God, it's Bryan Cranston. Oh, my God, it's Anna Gunn.
Yeah, it's just breaking up. Oh, my God, it's Aaron Paul. It's a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Is that Tuco?
I'm Tuco. Well, he just opened a restaurant. Did you hear about it?
No.
It's called Tuco de Beppo.
See, I didn't even know what the pun was, but I knew it was going to be a pun because I've learned the inflection of when you're about to tell a joke.
No, what's the inflection? What's the inflection?
Well, I just heard he opened up a restaurant. It's a very, hear about this? Did you hear about this?
Yeah, hear about this?
It's like I'm sitting across from Jay Leno.
Hey, headlines.
I tell you, Kev, I tell you. I just.
Oh, my God.
Hear about Seinfeld? Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Seinfeld. Just opened a restaurant. Tuco de Beppo. Ah, hit the, ah, Joe, I'm straightening my tie. Sorry. Okay.
Wow. Okay, you know what? This is a great email. This is from Brenda Sesbichigbika. And she says, what up, Gillies?
Wait a minute. How do you spell that last name?
S-Z-W-E-J-B.
I might have gone to school with this girl.
Well.
Continue.
We're about to find out.
Okay.
What's up, Gillies? Hi, I'm Brenda. You may know me as the girl who tweeted the side-by-side of Justin Springsteen, or more likely, you have no idea who I am at all, which is also fine. I assume I'm talking to Kevin right now because I remember... Well, you're talking to both of us right now.
Yeah.
We're both in the room. Kevin, right now, because I remember you saying something about filtering emails or spoilers for Demi, like the part where Emily and Richard do a murder-suicide in season 7. Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
I actually knew about that because I watched season 7 already.
Actually, makes sense. Well, Kev, do you mind if I call you Kev? I don't mind. Thank you. It was actually Demi that led me to this podcast. Once upon a time, we worked together.
Yeah.
The year was 2013. The setting, a dimly lit basement. I was a small fish in a big pond, and he was a multimedia prodigy.
Oh, my God.
Just kidding.
Not.
I'm not going to tell the story in the style of a detective novel. I go to UT, and I met Demi working at the Daily Texan. But ooh. I was a little baby freshman then. He was getting ready to graduate. Anyways. Oh, by the way, Texas forever.
UT, throw the horns up.
John Carter of Mars forever. Anyways, I always thought he was funny. Battleship forever. I just thought he was a funny guy. I followed him on Vine, blah, blah, blah. Timmy's great, blah, blah, blah. Right now, it's 4 a.m. in Austin. I have a weird insomnia thing happening. So I was listening to Gilmore Guys. You were talking about all the cross stitches and drawings, etc., that people have been making. And I was thinking, that sounds like fun, only I can't draw at all. My hands are practically useless. They're just glove/mitten racks. Wow. But then I remembered that I write songs, and I could just do that. So today at 3 a.m., I wrote you a Gilmore Guys song to the tune of American Pie. You'll find attached the lyrics in a lame voicemail memo. Or a lame voice memo of me singing it just as a reference. Voila. Now, I've not responded to Brenda yet, so I'm about to...
Have you heard this yet?
Nope.
Ooh, boy, here we go.
So we're about to listen to it. If it's offensive sexually, we're going to cut it out.
Just kidding, it's not a song. But
if it's sexual in the right way, we're going to leave it in. So here it is.
Not too long ago, maybe a few months or so, a young man had a notion. He loved a show called Gilmore Girls, wanted to share it with the world, so he made a plan and set it into motion. Wrote up on his Twitter feed,
what?
Won't anyone podcast with me? A lone soul answered Kevin, the brave Electro Lemon.
Oh my God.
It all happened pretty fast. The formation of the Holocast.
What?
So far, I'd say it's been a blast. Just listening to these boys. Oh my, my, it's the Gilmore guys.
This is perfect.
I'm gonna cry.
Reactions to for fashion, and a guest might stop by. Sometimes there's a plan, but mostly they improvise. Talking Rory, Dean Lane, Luke, and Lorelai.
Rory, Dean Lane, Luke, and Lorelai. This is so good.
I'm losing my mind.
Did you write the Book of Love? No, 'cause Patty did. Now try a plum. and see how nice chickens can be. And if you want nonstop double G, then saddle up with these gillies. Don't worry, it's all spoiler free. Well, nice we voice. Were all impressed a ton when they shot to iTunes number one.
Oh, it my wasn't gosh.
Meant to laugh. Oh, welcome to my ass. Oh, sorry I went off the rails. Let's get back to Lorelai and her pigtails. Or listen to Maury play the scales the day Cinnamon died. We started singing, my, it's the Gilmore Guys. Hear reactions to for fashion and a guest might stop by. Sometimes there's a plan, but mostly they improvise. Talking Rory, Deanley, Luke, and Lorelai. Rory, Deanley, Luke, and Lorelai. I met a boy who had a vine and I followed him there for a time.
Eventually, she unfollowed you.
He led me here. To watch Richard finally bag the Swede and Lorelai fight with Emily. Oh, wait, did I just see Kevin shed a tear? On Twitter, all the gillies scream, Team Jess is best, bring back Trolley. Yes, Michelle is black, we know. Hey, we love you, come on the show. Oh, I finally must have had some luck to find this podcast in the muck. Well, Metallica rules and Offspring suck. Now, this song is done. We were singing. My, it's the Gilmore Guys. Hear reactions to for fashion and a guest might stop by.
We don't know.
Sometimes there's a plan, but mostly they improvise. Talking Rory, Dean, Lane, Luke, and Lorelai.
That's the most incredible.
Oh, shit.
Brenda.
Wow.
Brenda, that's. Thank you so much.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
Best. Oh, my
How have we not played on the show? Brenda, my apologies for not getting to this sooner. Good grief. She sent this in last month. Wow. What do you even say?
I have no idea.
I think we should end the episode. We're not going to do better than this. Our faces were like, Demi and I were just like, because we truly.
Our jaws have been dropped.
Neither of us have like listened to that song
before.
Seriously,
that was live first, like.
Our faces were melting for 3 minutes or however long it was.
That was perfect.
So thank you, Brenda. Thank you to everybody that wrote in on this app. And in eps to come, keep those emails rolling in. You can email us gilmoreguysshow@gmail.com, baby. Send stuff. We will listen to, read, and respond to everything. Ultimately, we will. We just got a few to catch up on. But we love you, gillies. Follow us, Gilmore Guys Show, on Twitter, at Gilmore Guys Show on Instagram as well, facebook.com/Gilmore Guys Show, and soundcloud.com/Gilmore Guys Show. And I'm at Kevin T. Porter. And Demi's.
I'm at Electro Lemon on most things.
Vine Superstar. Okay. This one's dedicated to Brenda.
For real.